Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perry A. I've got a new eye chain here with my glasses, and it got right in the way of the phone. Excuse me for that. I have an exciting new testimony to share with you. You know, I've heard stories all my life of people being highly toxic and taking the clay baths and it turning the color of the clay dark, and sometimes it even gets gooey. And in all these years, I've had two people. I had my second one just this week. But the first one was a lady who was a two-pack-a-day smoker and smoked for 40 years. And when she'd take her clay baths the first time, the clay would turn brown, and it did it for several baths afterwards until she got all the nicotine out of her system. Well, I have a testimonial to share with you. This is from a new customer, and he was a truck driver for years. And he said, when I drained the bathtub, the residue in the bottom did not look the same as the green clay was. It was a nasty color that was tinged yellow with reddish around the edges and throughout. Ed has been pumping diesel for 17 years and mentioned that it was that color. The interesting thing is that we know that everyone has their own body odor, but when I hugged him and buried my face in his chest, he smelled different. It was like the sweet smell of a new baby. So the clay literally was pulling that diesel that had been accumulated in him for 17 years out into the clay. And just because we can't see a change in the clay doesn't mean it's not working and pulling out toxins. So I thought I'd share that with you. And she also shared, said, just a word about truck drivers. I drove with him for over 7 years for North American Van Lines, and we were out for 6 weeks at a time. Of course, we would shower and use soap, but we could leave the shower and wipe our arms and faces and necks with sea breeze and rub off black diesel residue. No amount of soap would remove it. Just makes you wonder what's happening to all the men who drive full-time now. It has to take its toll. So thank you, Jenny, for that testimony. It's exciting when we can see what the clay is doing, and it's doing something all the time. We just can't always see and experience it. Well, my name is Perry A. I'm the author of Living Clay, and I'm here to answer your questions. So I'm going to slip over to the Q&A page and see what we have going. Charlie in Boca Raton, how do you treat age spots with living clay? The book doesn't cover it. Well, Charlie, you do like a clay facial. You mix the cleansing clay mass, one part clay to three parts water, and make that paste. And, if it's on your face or arms, just do like a facial on your face and arms. And I would do that several times a week. If you're older, it's going to make you look younger anyway, so it's a good thing. Put a medium coat on and let it dry. Generally, it takes 15 to 20 minutes. And then rehydrate it and wash it off. It will gradually lighten the spots. Now, in addition to that, you want to drink the clay because it affects your skin tone. The liver is an indication. A healthy liver is an indication of healthy skin. So when it cleanses and takes the overload off the liver, it's helping the skin indirectly. In addition to that, I'm going to tell you to, cover your arms when you're outside or use a sunscreen, because the clay will start to lighten the age spots. But when we get out into the sun, if the pigment's still there, it darkens them up again. So you can go around, if you're like me, I go around places all the time with a dot of clay here and a dot of clay there. It's not too noticeable, it kind of blends in with your makeup. You could put just a little dot, because clay is actually a sunscreen. If you're ever out in the sun and you wear clay and you get red in some spots, the places where you have the clay, you won't have any sunburn. Of course, it's not fun to walk around with dry clay all over you, but just a little extra tip there. In addition to that, I have found, I'm 72 years young, and I have very few age spots. And I think because I drink the clay, they haven't come up. My arms and hands are just pretty much free of age spots. I have one on the side of my nose and one on my forehead that I work on all the time. But if you start drinking the clay, particularly now when you're young, you might avoid getting age spots when you get older. Mara Roberts in Pueblo, will this remove toxins from chemtrails? Yes, ma'am. Here's where you want your clay baths, and you want to be drinking the clay, too, because the chemtrail residue gets on our plants. The animals eat it. You know, it's the same thing with the radiation. The cows eat the grass, and it's in their milk. We don't know where all we're these chemicals are ending up in our system. So this is one of the benefits of clay. I'm now telling people, because of all the radiation scare going on, to take just a little sip of clay before and after they eat at each meal. Because if you're getting vegetables and they're coming from California, they may be tainted with radiation. And again, we can't see it. It's invisible. But a sip of clay, if it's in there when you eat it, it's going to grab it before it's absorbed into the body. Again, if you live in a chemtrail area, I'd take a clay bath at least once a week, because the stuff settles on your skin and it goes in systemically. It's absorbed through the skin. Jim in Santa Clara, can I take Sovereign Silver, silver hydroxyl, after or before I've taken bentonite clay? Please explain why or why not. Thank you, Tim. Tim, you can actually mix your clay with the colloidal silver. They're very compatible. You can make the hydrated, and instead of using the water, just use your Sovereign Silver is the brand you use. Substitute it for the water when making the liquid clay or the hydrated clay. They're extremely compatible. That's a good question, and thank you for that. All right, let me click those off and see what else we have. Carol Mattson in Phelps, Wisconsin. Thanks, Carol. If you drink the clay, will the calcium be absorbed in the bones or body? I'm not supposed to take out extra calcium, but need to detox. A very small amount of calcium is thrown off from the clay molecule. It's in the absorption layer, but it's not enough to count as a supplement. It's only a minute amount that can be thrown off in this adsorption layer around the outer edges, and it will kick off like a calcium or magnesium or potassium and take on one of the baddies. So I wouldn't worry about it being absorbed into the bones in that regard. Wanda in Texas, I have metal in my teeth. Is it safe to use living clay to brush my teeth, or should I use it with my toothpaste in a smaller amount, or should I not even use the clay to brush my teeth? Good question, Wanda. Honey, I use the clay to brush my teeth all the time, and I love it. I put a little toothpaste on my toothbrush just to get the flavor and keep the clay from sticking to my toothbrush quite as much. And then I dip it in the powdered clay. Now, I have a recipe. It's on the About Clay site, and I mix the clay powder, a little, what's the stuff you take the odor out of your refrigerator for? I'm having a blank senior moment. Baking soda. Just a little bit of baking soda. The recipe's on there. I put a little extra cloves in it, more than it says. A little bit of stevia to kind of sweeten it up some, and a few drops of peppermint oil, and you shake it real good in the powdered form, and I just dip my toothbrush in it and brush in it. I feel like I've been to the dentist and had my teeth polished. They feel so slick and smooth and clean. It really gets that film off of there, and I've been doing this for quite some time, and my dentist says my teeth are fine, so that's the way I like to do it. Now, some people like to put the hydrated clay on their toothbrush, and that's safe to do, too. What I have noticed is that people my age tend to have yellow teeth, and mine haven't gotten that yellow. The clay has kept the coffee stains and the tea stains from building up on your teeth, so it'll sort of keep your teeth white. It won't be that Matthew McConaughey fake looking white, but it will whiten up your teeth some. So it's very good. It's also good to put a little clay in your gums at night. Put some powder clay around your gums, and it will pull the bacteria that get lodged down in your gums out and tighten your gums back to your teeth. And when we get older, we get pockets in our gums if we're not brushing and using really good dental hygiene and having your teeth cleaned twice a year. These pockets develop, and it can affect the bone density of your teeth, so you want to keep those clean. Janet Lancaster. Hi, Janet. Perry, what is the impact of a calcium bentonite clay that has a lot less silica dioxide than living clay? I read places where people take silicon supplements. It's more better. Thank you. The silica in clay, I don't know. It's not really, the minerals in clay are not really released into the body. The clay particle, it's all part of the clay particle. And it's not a mineral supplement. However, it reacts with the body through biotransmutation, and the clay gets benefits from the silica in other ways. It's very complicated. I've been studying it quite a bit, and there's just some things about it I can't explain how to work. I think the silica and clay is what keeps the pain, helps the pain go away when you drink the clay. That's one of the attributes of it. I think the silica is what's responsible for helping the bone density and the healthy joints. And as we get older, our joints begin to ache. And if you sit for a long time, you get up, you're kind of achy. I used to have that all the time. If I'd sit in the car for 2 hours driving, I'd get up. I would have to stretch before I could walk because I was all wadded up in a little knot. But since I've been drinking clay all the time, I don't have that much of that problem anymore. So if you need a silicone supplement, take it, because it's not going to interfere with the silica in the clay. It works in different ways. Let's put it that way. It's not absorbed through the colon wall. And I know that's just clear as mud, right? Some things in clay you just have to trust. Okay, I think let me check and see if we have any more questions. Oh, mercy, we're out of questions. I'm going to be gone the fourth week in July, and I have an idea for a program. I'm going to have a hostess come in, and I thought what we would do is have a Wow Moments with Living Clay. I would like to hear from you. Everybody has their wow moment when they started taking the clay, and then all of a sudden they had that, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I didn't expect that to happen, and not that fast. And it's that moment that bonds you with the clay, and that's when you want to tell everybody about it and tell them how to use it. For me, it's when I had acid reflux, and I took it in like 2 or 3 days. I was totally over acid reflux. I didn't have to sleep propped up on pillows. It was absolutely amazing. Because I know I have a hiatal hernia, but I still didn't have that stuff coming up. I know for a friend of mine, he burned his leg on a motorcycle pipe. He rode his motorcycle to work with shorts on and burned his leg on that tailpipe. And if you've ever hit the tailpipe of a motorcycle, it is brazenly hot. And he had this huge blister coming up on his leg, and we went out and put the hydrated clay on it real thick, kept it on there all day. He said the next day he had just a little red, looked like a sunburn mark, and he kept the clay on there, and to this day he doesn't have a scar. He kept it from leaving a scar and turning the skin dark, just frying that skin. So that was his wow moment, and some of it's with insect bite, or it might be like Ed in the clay bath. Wow, look at all the toxins this is pulling out. 17 years of toxins in there, and the clay pulled it out, and you could see it visibly. So what was your wow moment? Get those ready, and that will be the week of July. It will be Thursday, July the 21st. I'm going to be in Florida on vacation that week, And I thought that would be a fun show, and I can listen to it when I get back. But we'll have a host moderating it that can read your answers. So get online and type in your answers, and we'll see what we get there. All right, we still don't have any questions. We're having a slow day today. It looks like we have quite a few listeners on the phone. Do I have anybody on the phone who would like to answer a question? If you do, you press *2, and then I can click on you and bring you online, and we can talk. Some people don't like to talk over the phone, and that's fine. Just send your questions. Let's see what new is happening with Clay. I'm about to do an interview with a lady on about the radiation scare. We don't know, the things are still leaking, and they haven't talked about it much, but that doesn't mean the danger isn't out there. And the worst danger, I think, is the invisible radiation that drifts down through the clouds and lands on our plants and our crops. You know, organic means nothing anymore when you have chemtrail and your radiation. Because it gets on the crops, and particularly the thin leafy vegetables, it's systemic. It's absorbed into the plant. When it gets on the soil, it goes into the soil, and the roots pick it up. And like the grass, the cows eat the grass, and they actually find radiation in the milk. So what can you do to prevent, you know, to protect yourself from that? And that's where, instead of just taking your clay maybe twice a day, morning and evening, I keep a little with me. Now, sometimes when I'm traveling, I'll take the hydrated clay. I prefer drinking the liquid clay. I think it goes to work faster that way, but, you know, sometimes it's not as convenient. But I keep a little jar of hydrated clay in my purse, and when I go out to eat, I can just take a little spoonful and put it in my mouth and swallow it down with some water. And there, I've had my clay dose, and then do the same thing after you eat. I kind of like to sandwich in that radiation and protect myself that way. And in addition to that, take one of those clay baths at least once a week. If you live in Japan, I would say you'd take clay baths 3 times a week and really drink lots of clay. But over here, we don't know what the wind currents are. I do know when it rains, it brings the radiation down to earth more. We've been in a drought situation. I have a friend that has a Geiger counter and can test the level. And she said, though it has risen a little bit, it's not a substantial amount above the normal radiation level for Texas, because we're in a drought and we haven't had any rain. But if it starts raining, it's gonna, and the radiation is in the air, if the wind currents came this way, it'll settle to the ground. It's just invisible, and you don't know where it's gonna come or how it's gonna come. So, still no questions here. Okay, let's see. I have been doing some research on clay and chemistry, and I have found some interesting things about the cation exchange layer. And we have been saying for years that the smectite clay is the only clay that adsorbs and absorbs. Well, I have found out that's incorrect. And all clays adsorb and absorb, but the cation exchange rate, which is that adsorption layer, and I'm talking about the outside edge of the clay molecule, is called the adsorption layer because it has some of the dominant minerals there, and they are held loosely bound. So they can throw off a calcium, a potassium, a magnesium, and you can throw off one of these, and it will take on one of the positive charge elements. Another thing I learned is it never takes on more than it throws off. If it throws off a calcium, which is a +2, a positive +2 ionic charge, it can take on a positive charge that's a +2 or 2+1. but it will never take on more than it takes off. We always say play is homeostasis, so it keeps its balance. And this is how it does it. So it's very particular when it throws something off that it takes the same ionic charge onto the clay molecule. And that way it maintains its balance of negative ionic charge around the clay molecule. And this cation exchange rate, we've always heard that the smectite clays are the only one that adsorb and absorb. And like I said, they are not, but they are the highest absorption. The cation exchange ratio on the smectite clays, which are your bentonites and your montmorillonites, are from 80 to 100 to 150. And like on your ileites, they are from 20 to 40. And I think the kaolin clays are from 10 to 20. So it just means that the clay can hold more toxins than the other clays. Your bentonite clays, your smectite clays are the stronger drawing and holding clays. This chemistry part gets people confused and they put things in books and simplify it and misinterpret it. It's easy to misinterpret chemistry. And someone came up, and I've heard it since I've been in clay, that smectites were the only one. So we can now put that in our myth pile. It's not the only ones that adsorb, but it has the highest adsorption. There's actually a clay called vermiculite that's right up there with the smectites. However, it is strictly an industrial clay. It is not for a therapeutic clay in any way, shape, or form. So that's the truth about clay. Check over here on the phone. Let's see, what else have I learned? The structure of clay, your bentonite clays, your smectite clays, are called a 2-1. We have two tetrahedral layers and one octahedral layer, and it's sandwiched. Your tetrahedral layer is on top. Your octahedral layer is in the middle, another tetrahedral in the bottom, and they share oxygen bonds. The oxygen bonds are what holds these platelets together, and this is what binds and holds the clay together so tightly in this interior layer, the absorption layer. So when the clay is hydrated, these little business-like cards swell up. Your smectite clays are a swelling clay. They're considered a swelling clay, whereas your ileolites and your kaolinites are not a 2-1 clay. They are a 1-1 clay, and they are not considered swelling clays. So that's another advantage of your smectite clays. I'm just having a fascinating time. I never liked chemistry in college, but I'm having a good time with chemistry now. I'm beginning to understand it. I never had a professor that could explain it to me, and it was like it would put me to sleep. I had an 8 o'clock Saturday class. And if it's something I can see and visualize, I can grasp it and understand, but trying to deal with atoms that you can't see. And nowadays, they can put it on slides and make graphics of the molecules and things. And I've been able to find some websites that have that information so I can see it. And there's one particular professor at a community college that has made quite a few videos where he's talking primarily about soils and agriculture, but he's talking about clay and the ions and the layers and how it works. And it's been really fascinating for me as I've been studying all this to try to grasp exactly how clay works. And I'm still in the dark on some things there. It just works. It works with the body. It's a catalyst and it maintains its balance and the equilibrium. So that's the fascinating part about clay. I don't know if we'll ever be able to answer all the questions on how clay does what it does. How does drinking clay stop the pain? Again, I think it's through the silica content of the clay. And yet the silica is not absorbed into the body. So there's the puzzle. But What I know is we get good results. I've never heard of plague killing anybody, destroying anybody's body organs. The worst thing you're going to get is a detox reaction if you're detoxing too fast. I had a lady last week that took a clay bath, and she had had a fatty tissue lump on her leg for 12 years. And after her second or third bath, she was working on her eczema and putting clay on. And she noticed this lump had a head on it, a white head on it. And when she masked it, all this pus and goo came out. And the next day she put clay on it, and the next day it, you know, more stuff came out and some blood came out. And she kept working with it, and eventually hard white stuff came out. So this lump had been there for 12 years, and the clay, you know, in 3 days pulled out 12 years of whatever that was that didn't need to be in her body. So this is one of those wow moments, and our wow moments can become any experience we had when we say, wow, this stuff really works. I want to tell so-and-so about it. I want to share it with such-and-such. And we all have different wow moments, so I would love to hear your wow moments. I won't be there that day. If I can get to a computer, I'll try to tune in. If not, Cheryl records the teleseminar, so I will listen in later and catch on to that. And I may have questions for you about your stories. How about that? Yeah, try to give details as what you took and how you did it to get the results you did, because we want to know how you applied it, how much you took, and so we can do the same thing and get the good results. So be sure and give attention to detail, how long you used it, how intense you used it, how long before you got results when you noticed something happened. And I think that'll be exciting to share those wow moments with Living Clay. And I appreciate your input. And that's going to be July the 21st, and we'll send out the teleseminar notice and have that announced in the newsletter as well. Okay, what can we talk about? The new book, How to Kickstart Your Day with Living Clay. It's a little booklet, and with first-time orders, people get the printed booklet. But the download is online. It's free. It's on the Living Clay CO website. And it's also on aboutclay.com. If you go there, that's the informational site. If you click on aboutclay.com and click on clay information, it's in that very top box, and you can download it. It just took the information. It's instructional manual on how to mix the clay for a liquid, how to do it for a poultice, how to do it for your facials and topical applications. I forgot to put in there, you know, we live and learn. I didn't think about putting in there how to make a little suppository for hemorrhoids. And basically you just mix up the clay with less water and make it moldable, probably 1-to-1 or even less, and let it absorb and get firm, and kind of do it like modeling clay and roll out a little bullet-shaped suppository, let it dry on a piece of wax paper, and then always use a KY gel or some lubricant when you insert it. But it's excellent for hemorrhoids. Now, in addition to that, you can put it in an enema. You can pour 2 to 4 ounces of your liquid clay into about a quart of water in an enema bag, and if you have diverticulitis and any kind of inflammation in the colon, it's very good to do that. Then, let's see, what's another way I thought of to take? Vaginal problems and douches, you can add the liquid clay to your douche water also for females, for ladies. It's a good cleanse. It will cleanse out that system. And oftentimes, if you get that vaginal yeast infection that itches quite a bit, you can just smother it with the hydrated clay, and it just soothes that itching right away. we get an imbalance, and they are often caused by taking antibiotics or in the wintertime wearing a lot of layered clothes, and oxygen can't get to our personal areas there. I think those are the only two things that I left out of the book. But it may be an eye pull to how to put it thickly over your eyes. By the way, I had a lady last week who used it for pink eye, and she put a few drops of her liquid clay into an eye wash solution and then the little eye cup and washed her eyes out with it. And I've always been afraid to do that because I thought the clay would be drying. But once she did it, I've done it several times, and it really has helped my eyes. I sit at the computer way too much, and sometimes my eyes burn. And so I've been doing that, and it really refreshes my eyes. And again, I get a little white matter coming out of my eyes, so if I have anything in there that shouldn't be in there, it pulls it out. But it doesn't feel at all drying on the eyeball. And I think that's the way they used to recommend it for cataracts, to do an eye wash with a little clay. Now, you don't want it real thick. You just want a little bit in there. You want to make it kind of cloudy, but not real thick because you don't want to get any grit in your eye. But it's very soothing when I use it to my eyes. And, of course, when you have allergies or if you have something like pink eye, I would have you close your eye and put the clay thickly over the closed eyelid. It's going to be very cold and cooling and refreshing. And you can lay down with a wet wash rag over your eyes to keep it moist. And if you can leave it there 15 or 20 minutes, that will generally do the trick, and then wash it off. Now, the other day when I had kind of a little flu thing going on, I had woke up with a headache across my temple and a headache at the back of my neck. And I took the hydrated clay mask and just put it thickly across my forehead. And I put some on the back of my neck. I didn't worry about my hair. I got some saran wrap and kind of wrapped around my neck so I wouldn't get it on my clothes. And I left it on there for 30 minutes, and the headache just went right away. And you can do the same thing for sinuses. You can put it back on your... I'm trying to click on my computer to see if I had any more questions. I can't talk and chew gum at the same time. So you can put it over a headache or over your sinuses. If your sinuses are conditioned and you have pressure in your sinuses, just put it thickly over the area. And put, you know, in that case, I'd use a warm wash rag and lay over it and to keep it wet, moist, and it will help clear out those sinuses. I've also put a little of the liquid clay in a neti pot and used it to flush my sinuses before. And those are different ways to use the clay. And I, you know, your baths, your topical, I can't say enough about topical. I can't say enough about drinking it. I just like to combine all of them. It's just a great advantage to us to use the clay in all ways because it has such a good effect on the whole body. It works on the whole body. Well, it looks like our time is up and I'm still talking here, so sorry we didn't have more questions today. We have quite a few listening in on the phone. Good to see that. We have people from Richmond, Rosenberg in Texas, Corpus Christi, Walnut Creek, California, Summerfield, North Carolina, and Baton, Boca Raton, Florida. So thank you for listening in and joining me. And come next time loaded with questions, and if not, I'll just chat about clay. So I appreciate your interest in clay, and as you know, my phone number is in the back of the book. And if any of you have questions that you don't feel comfortable sharing online, feel free to call me. My personal number is 512-262-7187. And I'll be glad to do my best to answer your questions. Thank you, and have a wonderful weekend. It's coming. The week is already gone. Bye-bye.